Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. Get behind the wheel of your new Opel at the Opel Open Road event now on at your Opel dealer.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
So now let's go to Tokyo.
RTE Radio 1 Sport with a Kia 7-year warranty. Wherever the next 7 years bring you, Kia has you covered.
Kia, movement that inspires.
RTE's own Des Cal is there and he joins me on the line. Hello, Des.
Hiya, Claire. Would you believe there's a bit of edge of the seat stuff going on at the moment in the background in the badminton hall? Yeah, Nat Nguyen, you know, I don't know if you saw him play the other night. He's the young Vietnamese lad who's brought up in Dublin.
Yes.
And he won a fantastic game two nights ago and he's playing now against one of the world's top 10. He lost the first game, but he's taken the second game and they're in the third one, a decider. And he is playing brilliantly. Yeah, it's fantastic. So he's one of my favourites, I have to say, of the Irish team.
Yeah, he's great. I saw a couple of profiles of him and he won really well the other night, didn't he?
He sure did. And I think his story kind of reflects the New Ireland as well. And his family worked so hard when they came here and he had a lonely kind of life. I mean, he's very open about it that, you know, he wasn't part of the gang, etc., being a young Vietnamese boy. And his dad was going playing badminton. That's why he went. And his parents worked both day and night, he said, to educate himself and his sister. And he's just a smashing fella. And now, if he won this, it'd be a huge surprise, we'd have to say. But he's playing superbly. And it's kind of good for the heart to see him doing so well.
I feel like not talking to you about anything else and asking you to do commentary there, Des, on this, because we can hear it in the background.
Yeah, well, I can muse it a little bit, but I'll keep you in touch with it as we go along.
No, do. If anything happens, let us know. But I want to talk to you about Simone Biles. It's all we could talk about in the office this morning. It's such a big story. Like, her withdrawal is shocking. I mean, this is the person that they find hard to mark because she's doing stuff that nobody else can do, stuff that's outside of the realms of possibility thus far. She's spoken to the media, hasn't she, about her decision?
Yeah, and it's a story that it's like the Olympics is the biggest sporting event. It's way bigger than the Olympics. It's a society story. And coming just weeks after Naomi Osaka spoke about her mental health issues, it has brought it to the forefront. It really has. And the pressure that sports people are under. Now, people are saying women. I don't think it's just women. I think men feel these pressures as well. And I think it has opened the door for people maybe to discuss it a little more. But Simone Biles was heaped with pressure before she came here. All of the magazines, they said she was the Usain Bolt of these games, the star, the one who could win 6 golds, the one everyone would look at. And as people know by now, she opted out after one vault in the American team competition. And the US Gymnastics initially said it was a health issue and she said it was a mental health issue. And then today she's pulled out of today's event because of a mental health issue.
Okay. Des, you know what? I'm sorry to cut across you there, but we have a clip of Simone Biles speaking and I just want people to have a listen to it before we hear what else you have to say. Just have a listen.
Yeah. I just felt like it would be a little bit better to take a back seat, work on my mindfulness, and I knew that the girls would do an absolutely great job, and I didn't want to risk the team a medal for kind of my screw-ups because they've worked way too hard for that. So I just decided that those girls need to go in and do the rest of the competition. I say put mental health first, because if you don't, then you're not going to enjoy your sport and you're not going to succeed as much as you want to. So it's okay sometimes to even sit out the big competitions to focus on yourself, because it shows how strong of a competitor and person that you really are.
So Des, were there any indications that she was struggling?
Yeah, there were. She did an interview in advance of the games. And like her background, a lot of people may know her background, a lot of people may not. Her mother was an addict. The family were eventually separated. She was brought up by her grandfather. And so she had to deal with all of that. Then she was sexually abused when she was among hundreds of the gymnasts who were sexually abused by the Americans' longtime national team doctor, Larry Nassar. Horrendous stuff. She felt obliged to compete here because the other abuse victims have not received any settlements. And she is the only one still actively involved in gymnastics, and she felt while she's still involved, that story remains there and there's a better chance of those who were abused being compensated. She feels if she retires, the story will just go away. She's carrying pressure, and she came out on behalf of the abuse victims. She's come out on behalf of young black women, because she was the first young black female gymnast. So she's carrying that weight of be the, you know, the face and the hope of all the black girls. And this was created and built up around her. And she says everybody is urging her to win for different reasons. And she says, this Olympic Games, I wanted to be here for myself when I came in, but I feel like I was doing it for other people. And she said, it hurts my heart because doing what I love has been kind of taken away from me to please other people. It's horrendous background. And she has carried, she's only 24, she's carried these burdens to try and help others all the way along. I mean, she's a huge financial supporter of kids in foster care, obviously, given she had been in foster care as well in a troubled childhood. Only 24, and she's had all of this. Not easy go through life with all of that, and then carry the burden of win these medals for America, make America the most decorated.
It's too much.
You know, it's tough.
It's too much. Yeah, I see she did an interview with the New York Times, was it, before she...
That's right.
Before
yeah.
she left, and they asked her, what was the happiest moment of your career? Honestly, probably my time off. That's just... Yeah. It's sad, actually. It's sad to hear that.
They said, Claire, that when it was announced a year ago that the Olympics were being put back a year, that she went over to the corner of the gymnasium and started crying that there was going to be another year for her. It's stark and horrific. And Naomi Osaka as well, you know, saying, we mentioned it briefly yesterday, she didn't want to do a press conference. She was fined at the French Open. She was fined $15,000 and she was facing... bother. And she says, look, I don't want to be disrespectful to the press. I know some media has to be done, but we should be allowed something like sick days. And she says, I'm now going to step forward and say, I suffer a bit from depression. And there should be times when we're allowed to say, we're not feeling good. Give us a break from it.
So has there been, has there been backlash from some quarters? I'm sure there has been.
It's brutal. It's savage. Now, obviously, the official sporting bodies are all supporting her. Social media... Like, I don't know where all this is going to end. It's savage. Basically along the lines of, you don't walk out on your team from last night. That's what it is. But for instance, I saw a photograph of Kerry Strug and her. Kerry Strug was in the 96 gymnastics team for America, and she injured her ankle in a vault and she had to be carried off the floor. But with fear that America mightn't win again, she went back and did one last vault with an injured ankle, and she became kind of an American hero. Mm-hmm. So photographs side by side of Simone crying on one side and Kerry Strug being carried off on the floor, all of this kind of stuff. It is vicious, given what she has been through and people calling her, you know, weak-minded and disloyal for walking out on her team.
Yeah,
but it's an area, Claire, that's going to have to be looked at in sport on a broader level, I think.
Yeah, and see, we have Naomi Osaka now, we have Simone Biles just saying, no, enough is enough, I can't do this. But we've yet to see a man step away. From your experience, Des, and looking at this and what's happened and the precedent that it sets, do you think that men feel the same amount of pressure as these two women obviously felt?
Absolutely, I do. I think it might be the macho thing. One man did, Tom Dumoulin, a Dutch cyclist, stepped away last January. Would you believe he actually came back for the Olympics? He had 5 or 6 months out and he said it felt like a massive weight, a bag of weights being lifted off his shoulders. And he said, after the Olympics, I may not cycle again either. But we kind of need men to do it. Look, I'd be aware on a smaller global scale, say GA teams, for instance, it applies to many teams. You're probably aware that, supposing, I don't pick any county, Laois, Kildare, playing at Croke Park, 26 players can tog out, okay? So you can only have the 15 and then you can have 11 other players togged out. But the squads are all over 30, so there might be 32 players, say, on average, 34 players togged out. So 6 of the lads who have been at every training session, taken part in every training session, have to sit up in the stand. They could be sitting beside Jimmy, the fella from the corner of the pub. They're not part of...
yeah.
No, seriously, I think that's awful.
I know, yeah.
It's heartbreaking for them. And how does it make you feel? How does it make the managers feel? You know what I mean? That they can't even include them. I think issues like that... I know professional footballers, when they finish... and they've been minded and guided. Like one of Ireland's most famous players, I remember him telling him late 30s and going, the first time he had to go and carry his own suitcases, he didn't know what to be doing because they were used to having somebody moving all their gear. And that's the way it was. And it just stops or ends, or you get transferred to a club, or you're at a club and you realise the manager doesn't want you, you're not part of his plans. There's a lot of pressures that we don't think about. And I do think it's a good thing that it's being discussed, and maybe the more it's discussed, the better.
Listen, great joy. The interview with the Olympic bronze medalists this morning, Afric, Emer, Fiona and Emily, I don't know, it just makes you feel warm on the inside, doesn't it, listening to them?
Yeah, well, they're the contrast. They're not going to be millionaire sports people like Simone and Naomi, but we heard three of them still in college, one doing a master's and one about to start work. Very reluctantly, the way she said it. but they have another life, and they have sport, and they have that life. And
well, maybe that's the key.
That's very important. But that's what I'm saying. And maybe, and but certainly the joy they've brought to everybody. And wouldn't they be a sponsor's dream? Because they're just charming in every way, superb athletes. You know, life leaders. Kind of, they're wonderful.
And Des, before we let you go, any update on that win?
Yeah, Nat is a 10-all in this, and Mona McSherry in the 200 breaststroke heat has swam a personal best. She may or may not make the semi-final because there are other heats to go, but she has swam a personal best for her. And Nat is still smiling on the floor there, and the score in the third set, just wait till they resume it again. This is a young fella, Stephen Cluxton, apparently helped him set up the school badminton team, the Dublin captain. He's a teacher in his school. Yeah, and it's 10-all in the third set. Run up the stairs. You have 10 minutes to do. You'll get the end of it.
So 10-all for Nat. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. And one other
recent result that's important to give you. Aoife O'Rourke, the young boxer, she was up against the number 2 seed from China. And she was beaten, but she was fantastic. And she spoke afterwards and thanked the people of Roscommon for all her support. She was great. So a great effort from Aoife O'Rourke, but she was beaten. We'll let you know about Mona McSherry later on.
Des, thanks very much. Good to talk to you. That's very exciting for Nat. We wish him well. For everything crossed. We're going to have our second part of our Travel With Your Taste Buds series. We're off to Mexico after this.
Today with Claire Byrne. Listen back on the RTE Radio Player app.